What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 198. In this episode, I'll discuss how to use high-dose insulin therapy for beta blocker or calcium channel blocker overdose. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode198. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. An overdose of beta blockers or calcium channel blockers often induces life-threatening cardiogenic shock. Traditional therapies for beta blockers or calcium channel blocker toxicity are glucagon, calcium, atropine, electricity, or cardiac pacing, and vasopressors. Unfortunately, these therapies often fail or are transiently or minimally effective. High-dose insulin therapy has emerged as a preferred treatment of cardiogenic shock induced by calcium channel blockers or beta blockers. When used at doses 10 times or more that of the normal anti-diabetic dose, insulin has positive inotropic effects even in the presence of beta blocker or calcium channel blocker toxicity. High-dose insulin therapy also improves the poison patient's response to vasopressors and provides lasting effects on hemodynamic stability. It's important to note that the hemodynamic response to the high-dose insulin does not occur until at least 15 to 45 minutes or sometimes even longer after initiation. I'll repeat that. The hemodynamic response does not occur until 15 or more minutes after initiation. Maximal use of other therapies must be employed while the effects of high-dose insulin therapy kick in. Dosing recommendations for high-dose insulin therapy are provided in the consensus recommendations for the management of calcium channel blocker poisoning in adults. I have a link to that article linked up in the show notes. To start high-dose insulin therapy, you give a bolus of 1 unit per kilo IV regular insulin, followed by an infusion of 1 unit per kilo per hour. Based on animal data, high-dose insulin therapy appears to have a linear dose-response curve where increasing doses of insulin produces increasing positive hemodynamic effects. Therefore, high-dose insulin therapy may be titrated to effect. A maximum of 10 units per kilo per hour is suggested. However, no ceiling dose has been established. Goals for treatment can be a heart rate of at least 50 beats per minute and systolic blood pressure of at least 100 millimeters of mercury. You'll need to proactively treat against the development of hypoglycemia with such high doses of insulin. A central line should be obtained if there's not one already so that more concentrated solutions of dextrose can be given to avoid fluid overload. If the initial blood glucose level is less than 400, give an IV dextrose bolus of 0.5 gram per kilo and continuous infusion of 0.5 gram per kilo per hour at the start of high-dose insulin therapy. Check the blood glucose every 20 minutes times 3, then hourly. Titrate the dextrose infusion to maintain blood glucose at the upper end of normal. The patient should be monitored for development of hypokalemia, although this is not always guaranteed to occur. Check the serum potassium hourly until the insulin dose and potassium level are stable, and then check the potassium at least every 6 hours after that. Because hypokalemia is due to intracellular shifting and not potassium depletion, the goal potassium level is lower than usual. A suggested goal is 2.8 to 3.2 MEQs per liter, with replacement not indicated until the potassium drops below 2.8 MEQs per liter. Before you use high-dose insulin therapy, find out the fastest way to get potassium results back from your lab. At my hospital, adding on a potassium level to a blood gas gets results in 15 minutes or less. It shouldn't matter whether it's an arterial or venous sample for the purpose of checking the potassium level. This is far faster than the turnaround time for a regular chemistry profile with the potassium level that you get there. The optimal duration of high-dose insulin therapy has not been determined. It's unknown whether slow weaning of the insulin infusion is preferred to abrupt cessation. It's possible that lipid stores of insulin provide a self-tapering effect that allows for abrupt cessation. If hemodynamic instability recurs when high-dose insulin is weaned, restart the insulin infusion. If you've been thinking about joining my Critical Care Pharmacy Academy, I want to let you know that the price will be increasing for new members as of July 1st, 2017. You can lock in the lowest price permanently now at pharmacyjoe.com/academy. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.